Good morning, everybody. This is Scott Mitchell with a program called Let the Bible Speak. We've been doing this, I think, since our 23rd show,
woo!
Which is a little weird, but been very blessed to be able to do this, and Sean Scott lets us come on and talk about these things. And what we're encouraging people to do with this show is just study the Bible and see what it says, regardless of what you think it says or what you've been taught it says or how you feel about what it says. But just trying to get people to understand that this is God's inspired word, that we need to pay attention to it. And that's what we're doing. And we want to encourage everyone to really just get your Bibles out this morning, read along with us, and just kind of read it and see what it says. I've been working with the church out of El Bethel, and we've been there a little over a year. And that's what we've been doing out there. We study Wednesday nights. We study Sunday mornings. We've got another study Wednesday after school before a Bible study Wednesday night. And so we're studying Isaiah. We just finished the book of John. We're going into 1 John next week on Wednesday.
Good.
And starting to study on the first 13 chapters of Genesis on Sunday morning, which I'm really looking forward to.
Good.
I got John Bingham with me again today. I'm very grateful for you to be able to come over here.
Thank you for having me.
He is an excellent Bible student and has a really good kind of calm demeanor about things, which I need to acquire more of a steady as you go kind of thing, and I appreciate that. And John, for those who don't know you, why don't you go ahead and talk about yourself for a minute, and we'll get started with our lesson.
All right, I'm John Bingham. I worship with the Eastland Church of Christ over in Louisville, Kentucky, on Bardstown Road. Mm-hmm. Over in that neck of the woods, and I work over here on this side of the river at the sunny side of Louisville, at Indiana University Southeast.
That deserves a gong, by the way.
Uh-oh. And so able to do a little bit of teaching on occasion, and I appreciate the opportunity to be back over here. But get over here on a Saturday morning every once in a while to sharing God's word a little bit. And as Scott said, if you will get your Bible out and take a look at these passages as we're talking about them, that will be very good to have our study together today.
Now, what we're going to talk about today in biblical balance, which, John, I think you have, what, like 23 or 24 different lessons on this kind of idea, something like that. Not that we're going to do them all today.
No.
But I'm going to read a verse from Joshua to kind of set the stage for what we're trying to do, and I'm going to let John's got lots of notes. I've got some notes, but I know he comes with some really good material. But Joshua 1:8-9 say, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage." And so that's the whole concept that we're trying to get people to do. I keep going back to Psalm 119:160 that says the sum of God's word, or the entirety of God's word, is truth.
Right.
And so that's the idea. We have to look at everything the Bible says, and that's what we've been trying to do. So I know we're going to springboard off of where we ended the last time. So how are you going to get this thing going today?
Well, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about that truth is essential, right? And we laid that foundation for that. If you have opportunity to go back and listen to that lesson, that would be great. Yeah. But we're going to posit that reality is right, and that truth is absolutely essential.
How much of the truth?
All, right?
All the truth. All. Any extra truth?
Allest. What's
all. What's the allest, or all, or of all?
The whole truth.
The truth, the whole truth, and
nothing but the truth.
Nothing but the truth. That's right. That's right. In order to be right with what the word says, we've got to have it in all those forms.
Yeah. By the way, we got some viewers on Facebook. Thank you for being on with us.
And hello,
appreciate
everybody.
Being here today and with us. And we got a lot of our Glena people in Benton, Illinois, for a camp reunion kind of camp out
thing. Hello, Benton, Illinois.
And that's where you're from.
Yeah, so, Benton Rangers. Go, woo!
And I don't know that anybody there's listening, but that's where a lot of our Glena people are.
So. Show them this tomorrow and say, hey to everybody.
Anyway,
I thought
you'd like to know that.
Yeah, so, Wren Lake.
That's right.
That's right. Very good, very good.
That's exactly where they are.
I know.
Wren Lake, yep.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Benton. I could talk about this for an hour. No,
yeah,
let's not do that. Okay.
So, the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Okay, so if we think that we have the truth, what are some pitfalls that can happen?
Well, we can be wrong.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And we can teach things that aren't necessarily true, and we can believe them. And even if they're not true, we can believe them and be sincerely wrong about those things.
That's right.
So what are some pitfalls you're thinking about?
Well, let's look at Matthew 23:23. I like to look at some scripture here. Go ahead and read Matthew 23:23.
All right. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." That's Jesus talking, by the way.
That's right.
"For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others."
Okay, now, the Pharisees and the scribes certainly thought they had the truth, right?
Yes, they did.
And yet what they're condemned for is they got out of balance in a sense of neglecting certain things.
Yep.
While emphasizing other things.
And they became blind guides.
That's right.
Verse 24. So, anyway.
That's right. And so we've got to be careful that we don't just focus on certain things to the neglect of the weightier matters, as it says right here.
Now, you know, and folks, the reason we're kind of laying this foundation of truth is at some point we're going to get into some topics that people may see as controversial.
Right.
But if we know how serious God wants us to take His word,
right,
and Theron is dying to hit that gong, so I'm going to do it one time, all right? We can never say, "I know what the Bible says, but..." Oh, we cannot do that. So are you happy now, Theron?
Yes, I feel
okay,
better.
He got it out of his system.
I got it out of my system.
So... We just have to be willing to look at what the... Even it could be something that people feel like, well, we've always done this. How can this possibly be wrong?
Right.
Yeah, right.
I understand that, but we have to look at what the Bible says to make sure what we're doing is the correct thing.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing.
Because I studied... My daughter had a volleyball practice last week over near your house.
Yes.
And I was... a guy came over and sat down by me, and somehow or other, we ended up on a discussion of Bible authority.
Well, good.
And instrumental music came up.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And which was a good study.
Right.
But he said, "I can't find any scripture to say that we shouldn't do that."
Right.
That was his stance on that issue.
Where's my golden?
And so we have to make sure that... I can't right now, Theron. You got me. What we have to make sure we're doing is having scripture to support what we do want to do.
That's right.
And that's what I want people to... So the whole point of all this laying this foundation, when we get to those topics,
right,
to get people to... If you're going to study with, you got to know how I'm going to handle the Bible.
That's right.
And how I think God would expect us to handle the Bible. And that's why we're doing all this. That's the point of all this.
And we're looking at different examples in the Bible itself of how people ended up getting off on a tangent one direction or the other direction, so that we don't follow those examples, but instead we stay in the sweet spot. Yeah.
As Dan Langford says, it's like a ball in a pinball machine.
Right. Yes.
Overreacting.
Yes. Yeah, we don't want to overreact.
Instead of just smooth adjustments like driving down the road and keeping your car in check. So anyway.
That's right. Well, and what's interesting in this Matthew 23:23 is Jesus doesn't simply say, "Hey, you missed it because you missed the big picture of justice and mercy and faithfulness." Mm-hmm. He ends up coming back around and says, "These you ought to have done, the big picture, very important, justice, mercy, faithfulness, these you ought to have done without neglecting the others."
Yeah.
So he says, it's not that I'm condemning you because you're trying to obey some of the commandments. I'm condemning you because you've missed the big picture, and you need to have both the big picture and the commandments.
Yeah.
And that's the proper balancing of things to truly be in the truth.
Now, if you want, the phones are working. If you want to call in, 812-365-9864. If you want to call in, make a correction or ask questions. Or if you want to call my cell phone later, it's 812-620-4034. You can also go to our Facebook Live page, make comments, or go to letthebiblespeak.faith. There are lots of resources to come to if you want to try to correct me or go along or whatever you want to do. We are just trying to teach the truth, and we want you to understand that. So those are some resources you have to reach out to us and if to ask questions.
Yeah.
So they were keeping part of the truth.
Yeah.
But not all the truth.
That's right.
And so that's where we are.
Right.
And I think that happens a lot in our lives anyway.
Right.
If we just aren't paying attention to what we're doing.
Right.
So
there are other times when if we have the truth or we think we have the truth, mm-hmm. we can become prideful about it.
Yes,
we can become arrogant about it and not really caring about other people, but really just patting ourselves on the back and making ourselves feel good when in reality that's not going to be aligned with what God wants. There's a parable that Jesus talks about in Luke 18. In Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And so he uses a Pharisee as his bad guy here. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Tax collectors were not positively viewed, by the way.
Not often.
Are they positively viewed nowadays?
Not
necessarily. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Can you imagine approaching God this way? God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And so he starts to rattle off all these ways in which he thinks he has the truth and he's doing the truth and all these other people are just not worth thinking about.
Yeah.
The tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. Why? For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we got to be careful, even when we have the truth accurately, that we're not approaching it from a prideful standpoint or thinking about it arrogantly, thinking about it of I'm better than everybody else around me and all that kind of stuff.
Is that when you study Romans chapter 1 through 3 when Paul's talking about everybody being doomed, when he talks about the Jews there, is that the concept where he says you had this law and you kind of lost you've lost yourselves because you got so wrapped up in having it that you forgot what you were supposed to be doing with it?
Right.
Kind of idea.
Right. And even though you were blessed with having the law and being able to know the will of the Father, you've gone off in all these sins anyway.
Yeah.
And so just having the truth but not actually applying it, and part of applying it is justice, mercy, faithfulness, and being humble.
And that humility is a big part of what we're talking about.
Right.
If, you know, when you get somebody who's always believed, and there could be somebody, if you've always believed something is true, and somebody says, well, have you read what the Bible says about it?
Yeah.
It's sometimes hard to humble yourself.
Right.
And say, well, let's look at it from a new angle.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge we're asking people to take for themselves, is to do that very thing.
And the appeal has to be going back to Scripture and searching the Scriptures to see whether or not what's being taught is actually so. That's all right. That's right. The story of the Good Samaritan is a good example of this as well, as far as, where Jesus ends up using the priest and the Levite as the characters that are less than ideal. Well, they think they're righteous. Yeah, they think they're righteous.
I say that sarcastically.
Yes. But then the Samaritan is the one who actually is acting in the way that God is expecting and showing the love. All right.
You can say it, John, if you want to. I don't know.
I would, but I don't think I will. Oh.
Theron wants to hit the gong again.
Theron's trying to hit the gong for some reason. Yes. So there you go. Just hit it regardless. How's that? There we go. All right.
Well, you told me to.
Good deal. So we can get so wrapped up in trying to do things of truth or whatever like that, and some of the particulars of truth. Back in the Old Testament, in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6.
I'm going to use some Hosea tomorrow in my lesson.
Oh, are you? Pride. All right, good.
Yes, indeed.
Good, good, good. Hosea 6 and verse 6, what's it say there?
For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings.
Okay, and this we can see also in the midst of Psalm 51. There's a similar idea of, if it was just about sacrifice, then I'd give it and everything. But it's beyond sacrifice. What God really wants is a contrite heart.
Yep.
And wants love. And wants us to actually know God instead of just going through the rituals of sacrifice without those heart things in place. And so going on down, there's another... There are a couple of places in the New Testament where Jesus specifically refers to this concept. And I'll go to one of them right now. Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew. Matthew and Matthew, that's good.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Sitting at the tax booth. Oh, the Matthew here is a tax collector. One of those favorite ones of the Jews, right? And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, Jesus, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners."
Yeah.
Now, so who are the ones who think that they are well? The Pharisees, right? Yeah.
It's interesting, they look at everybody else as sinners.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They didn't include themselves in that statement.
That's right. That's right. They really thought they had the truth, and they really thought they had no need of this physician, right?
Yeah.
And so Jesus said, you're thinking about this all wrong. Those who really have the truth will be wanting to reach out and teach and help those who need the truth.
Yes.
Instead of being the Pharisees who stand afar off and just say, condemn, 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 without caring about people and wanting to help people. And so that's the arrogance that we need to be careful about. If we get caught up feeling like we have the truth to the point that we're prideful and not humble, that we are condemning and not loving, then we're going to have problems.
You know, one of the ideas that when studying through Isaiah that I've got, I mean, humility is a huge lesson throughout the book of Isaiah, but one we can learn. But this idea of we aren't, when Isaiah, when that hot coal touched Isaiah's lips and cleansed him of his sin.
Right.
The first thing he did was volunteer for service.
Yeah, that's right.
So we aren't, and we talked about this, we aren't sanctified and set apart and saved so we can sit on a stool and say, "Hey, I'm saved. Now look at me." We are saved. We're saved for service.
Right.
To do those things and help people and help them see what they can't see for themselves, or help them along, or whatever we can do to help people. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And I look now, I'm like, "You poor person.
Right.
If only you were like me."
Which is exactly the problem that every generation can have, that problem of becoming Pharisaical and becoming condemning of others rather than wanting to help and wanting to love and wanting to encourage
Which,
and all that.
You know, kind of goes to the idea of understanding. We have to remember what God did for us, in which is really not even explainable, you know, with the English language as far as how big his gift was.
Right.
And so what are we supposed to do in response to that gift? We better be trying to help other people however we can.
Because he did that not just for us. He did that for all.
Yeah.
And we need to help anyone who would be open to learning what God wants for us.
And not that we're setting ourselves up as experts. I'm not saying that. I'm saying anybody can teach somebody.
Right.
We can all help somebody. We can sit down, even if we're biblically, intellectually equals, which you and I are not. Because
I'm trying to catch up with you.
No, don't even go there. We can sit down and talk about the Bible and still learn. It's not like we're ever in a place where we can stop learning, but we have to be willing to help. I mean,
that there's funny.
My intention when I go to work is to influence somebody for good. When I go to the grocery store is to try to influence somebody for good. That's kind of always in the back of my mind.
That's good.
Because God has done so much for me, how can I not?
Right.
And to look at somebody who maybe looks different than me, or maybe lives differently than me, or maybe they're, you know, we talked with Dan last week, we look at other people like that. If you're, and this is an example that Gary Fisher used on in one of his recordings I was listening last week. If you're on top of a mountain, and I'm in Death Valley, which one of us is closer to the moon?
One.
Is there a whole lot of difference?
No.
So, and that's how we have to remember where we've come from,
right?
And understand who we are. And without God's grace, we're nothing anyway,
right?
And so we have to look at everybody in us. So we can't not look at ourselves in the same light, which is what these Pharisees.
Right, exactly.
They weren't willing to look at themselves as sinners.
Right, right. And so if we don't have that humility, it doesn't matter how much truth we have. We're not pleasing to God. We're not acceptable to Him. And so we go into truth has to be balanced by a number of different related things or whatnot, but let's go look very specifically at truth and love need to be balancing each other so that we have the right attitude. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. And again, hopefully you're able to have a Bible out and turn to this passage yourself and look at it.
Absolutely.
While we're reading it here, I'll go ahead and have you read that.
Oh, just 1 through 3?
1 through 3.
1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3.
Yes.
It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, and have not love, I gain nothing.
Okay, so if I've got all these impressive, back in the first century, having all these impressive spiritual gifts, and I'm able to speak in tongues like they were able to, if I've got that gift, but I don't have love, then... we need that symbol here now, right? Yeah. Oh, we just missed the opportunity for that symbol. Because all it is noise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All it is noise.
A clanging symbol.
Yeah. And a clanging symbol is not all... we really don't need that.
If you say clanging symbol...
Ouch.
Oh. My phone just quit.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. Isn't it not charging?
Probably.
Oh no!
All right. Well, you guys continue.
Let's keep rolling. He'll get it back up, maybe.
And if I've got all of the whatever the prophecies, mysteries, knowledge, all this kind of stuff, if I've got whatever is so impressive that I could remove mountains, if love is not my motivator, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
If I give myself to be burned. If I give away all my possessions, whatever. If I don't have love when I'm giving everything away, if I don't have love when I am a martyr for Christ, it is worthless to me.
Yeah.
And so truth without love is going to be nothing, and we've got to make sure that we don't get our hearts in that kind of a position. And so Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, whenever it's talking about how the church works together, it says we're supposed to be speaking the truth in
love.
Okay? Speaking the truth. There are lots of people who can speak the truth, but if you don't speak it from a position of love, that'll turn a lot of people off.
Indeed it will.
It'll create a lot of division in the body of Christ. And yet what we're supposed to do is be fit, joined together, whatever joint supplies, etc., which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And it's interesting that it's more of an emphasis on love than it's an emphasis on truth at the moment, because it says what we're really about is building ourselves up in love rather than emphasizing truth there. So that's got to be there. But not only just within the church, 2 Timothy 2 verses 22 through 26 goes to the point that you were talking about earlier, which is the attitude we need to be having toward those who are not in the body of Christ yet, haven't learned the truth
right
of Christ
side,
yet.
There you go.
Okay. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 22 through 26, can you take that one?
2 Timothy 2, 22-26?
Yes.
So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. As the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will.
So this is the attitude we should have, which is in stark contrast to what we saw from the Pharisees earlier, mm-hmm. right? We need to be pursuing faith and love and peace with a pure heart. We need to be gentle to all, mm-hmm. able to teach, but being very patient in it.
Yes.
And humble, with humility, correcting those in opposition, mm-hmm. right? We still have to correct those in opposition to truth, but we have to do so with humility, with patience. And if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, right?
Yeah.
Trying to get them to the truth through patience and humility. Yeah. That's what we really need to be striving to do. So, now, going back to what the Facebook Live commenter said a little bit ago with the...
Good Samaritan.
With the Good Samaritan. There's an interesting thing in James chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. James chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. Truth has to be loving, and loving has to be active.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so what does James 2, 15 and 16 say?
It says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for their body, what good is that?
Yeah, what use is that? Is another translation of it. So
you're saying love is an action word?
Ah, yes.
Is it a noun or a verb?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. We have to be doing things coming out of that. And so the Good Samaritan, the love was demonstrated by the one who saw the need and acted upon it.
Mm-hmm.
The others may have had truth, but they didn't have the love that they needed in order for it to be the walk that Christ calls us to. All right, so we need truth and love. We need that love to be active. Another aspect that the Bible talks about is we need that truth to be from a sincere heart.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Peter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth,
mm-hmm.
We can purify our souls by obeying what God truly says we're supposed to do in response to Him.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So if we have truth, we also have to have that sincerity in love in order to be pleasing to God. That makes sense?
Yes.
So the question is, do we? Are we handling truth in a way that has love, has sincerity, those types of things?
It's the top of the hour.
Oh, it's the top of the hour.
It is the top of the hour.
And so...
We must obey the law.
You're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
Very good.
That was the young Padawan, the student of the Jedi, technical Jedi, Theron.
I like
so
that.
We are learning some things. That was my son, Evan, on the radio. So
very good. Cool. Very all good. Right.
When we last met, I was butt on burner.
That's great. Okay. So, John 4. Mm-hmm. Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan woman has a question for him. The Samaritan woman is surprised, first of all, that Jesus is even willing to speak to mm-hmm. her, right? Why?
She's a Samaritan, an unclean.
Okay.
A half-breed of sorts that shouldn't be associating with a good, clean Jew.
Yeah, well, and she knows that the Jews, and all the more so the Pharisees among the Jews or whatnot, would have nothing to do with her, yep. would look down on her, like all these things we're talking about before. But Jesus demonstrates that he loves all people, and so he is engaging this conversation with her. And so once she figures out that he's a nice Jew and that he knows some things about the Jewish faith and all this kind of stuff and is starting to get a clue about who Jesus is, mm-hmm. she's curious about something. And she says, okay, now wait a minute. My folks, my family, this community says we can worship God up here, but you Jews say it's got to be down in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And so Jesus says, in the midst of his answer, he says, verses 23 and 24. Go ahead.
But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Okay, so he says what's coming and what's being established mm-hmm. now is true worshipers, which we want to be.
Yep.
True worshipers are going to worship the Father how?
In spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth. You know what? That's two elements that both have to be balanced and in mm-hmm. place in order for us to be pleasing to God. What happens if we worship in truth? We've got the truth down about how we're supposed to worship, what we're supposed to do in elements of worship, all those kinds of things. So we've got the truth, but we don't have the right spirit. Is God going to be pleased?
No.
No.
He is not.
No, that's going to be out of balance of going through the motions. Remember the idea of God desires mercy and not sacrifice? If all we have is truth and how we're going about it, but we don't have the right attitude with yeah. it, we are going through the sacrifice, but we don't have the heart.
And here's how I see this showing up. Mm-hmm. We become box checkers.
Yeah.
We go to church on Sunday morning, we check a box.
Yep.
We give a little bit on Sunday morning, we check a box.
Right.
We go back on Sunday evening, we check a box.
Right.
And we'll go on Wednesday and check a box, and the rest of the week is ours to do whatever we want.
Right.
Kind of idea. Or just show up and go through the motion.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're supposed to do.
Not putting our mind or our heart into what the thought process is, what the songs are about, what the lesson's about, mm-hmm. trying to apply it to our life. Not doing any of that stuff. We're just going through the motions, and that's yeah. nothing.
And it can happen so easily.
Right.
Because life gets busy, and we get, you know, we do what we're going to do. But that's something we have to get done.
Right. So we're going to do it, but we're going to be totally distracted through it and get no benefit out of it.
And, you know, we sing, and I've done this. I can sing a song.
Yeah.
Just sing the whole thing.
Right.
And not hear a single word I say.
Right.
Yep, because I've right. No, we're not going to prove it. What I'm saying is, that I, you know, in a congregation, you know, with a lot of other people singing where they can't hear me, I will sing along mm-hmm. and not really sing the song.
Yeah, you're right. Right.
That's going through the motion, folks.
Yeah.
And that's what we see. That's what we see when we don't have the right spirit. We're supposed to know what we're singing to God. I heard somebody say, too, the Christians don't lie. unless they're singing. Because we make all these grand claims while we're singing, and what are we really doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so, some of those songs are really convicting if we're...
if we know what we're singing.
That's right.
But anyway, that's just... we have to make practical application of this stuff.
Exactly.
So...
exactly. And so, yes, we need truth, but we've also got to have the right attitude. Yeah. Now, let's flip it around, though. Jesus said, and... spirit and truth is how we're supposed to worship. What if we have the best attitude, whatever like that, as far as having our mind, our heart, our spirit into it, but we're not actually obeying the truth of what God wants in worship?
Yep. Then
we're off track. We're also off track, just in the opposite direction or whatnot. So there are extremes on both sides. And yet, Jesus comes back and says, those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Now, how can that show up in somebody's life?
How can the second...
too much spirit, or unbalanced, unbalanced spirit, how can that show up?
There can be an attitude of, I know in my heart that God is pleased with whatever. It doesn't matter what the scriptures say about how I'm supposed to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe...
He knew that was coming.
And
so when we...
you should have warned me, Scott.
I saw it out of my good eye, John. So I was looking at you with my bad eye. And I saw him coming. But that idea of, and I may have mentioned this before. We were talking one evening, and this we were in a hotel room on vacation someplace with somebody. My wife and I were there, and this woman sat up in bed and beat her chest and said, "I know in my heart I'm saved."
Yeah.
And while she was mad, and very emotional and very spirited.
Right.
She later realized she was wrong.
Yeah.
And made some corrections.
Yeah.
But that idea of just knowing that in your heart isn't where truth comes from.
Right. Right. There's a way that seems right.
But it's way leading
death.
In Jeremiah 10:23, it's not within man to direct his own steps. We've got to be careful about that and understand what the truth really is, because this is not, I keep saying this, now Theron may disagree, this is not rocket science. Theron has been a rocket scientist before.
There you go.
But it's simple as just reading it in context and reading it all and knowing what it said.
Right.
And that takes time.
Right.
To understand, you know, where the Old Testament hooks in and what those things mean, and, you know, where the spiritual gifts you were talking about earlier and where those things did fit in and how they worked and why they were there and all these things, and understanding all that, it takes time to study.
Right.
But people can. I mean, they're, you know, sincere hearts out there that I think they want to know the truth and think they know the truth.
Right. But they need to open the scriptures and go back and see everything that the scriptures say.
Yeah.
And when we end up seeing that, the scriptures teach something different from what someone has told us.
Yeah.
Then we've got to move toward the scriptures.
Yeah.
I ended up having, there was a lady who on some dimensions was very sincere and very, very emotionally tied to a salvation experience. But that salvation experience was something that is not found in scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she knows that she, she thought she saw something, she thought she felt something and all that kind of thing. And when the scriptures were pointed out, she was just like, I am not going to look at that.
Yeah. Well, somebody has to, we can't deny she had an experience.
Right.
But it wasn't a salvation experience.
Right.
I'm not going to say somebody did not have an experience.
Right.
Because they did.
Right.
But let's look what the Bible says and see if it matches up. And that's what we're asking people to do today.
Right, exactly.
That's all we're asking people to do, is what does the Bible say about it?
And when you have that genuineness of the need for, the right need for having a spirit desiring to serve God, that needs to drive us toward the truth.
Yeah.
And toward studying the Word. Because sincerity of spirit, purity of heart, and love and action are essential, but it's also got to have the truth in it. Now, let's look at Paul. How sincere was, well, let's not call him Paul yet, let's talk Saul. How sincere was Saul?
He was sincere throughout his whole life.
Yeah, let's look at Acts 23, verse 1. And I'm going to have you go back to Acts 22 and verse 4, okay? I'll read 23 and verse 1, and then Scott, you do 22 and verse 4.
All right.
In Acts 23 and verse 1, Paul starts to make an appeal to some people who were Jews who were wanting to persecute him at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he it says, and looking intently at the council, Paul said, brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've always had a good conscience that I was always trying to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
But what had he done in all good conscience previously? In the previous chapter, he described some of the old things he had done.
22 verse 4.
Yeah.
I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women.
Okay, so he thought he knew the truth and was doing exactly what God wanted.
Yes.
And in doing that, he initially was persecuting Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But he did so with a good conscience.
And what's interesting is those people knew him.
Uh-huh.
They had seen his life. And he's looking at them very intently saying, look, you've seen my life.
Right. You know
you
how
know
dedicated
I am.
That's right.
And that's great he could do that.
Right.
But they weren't willing to see.
Right.
Or ask why the change came or what caused, you know, they didn't want to know.
Right. Right. So if all we're doing is leaning on, I feel good about what I'm mm-hmm. doing, I have a good conscience about it, it doesn't mean we're necessarily aligned with the truth.
Well, how could that be wrong? I mean, if it feels good and it, you know, how could God not be pleased with what I'm doing?
That's right. Well,
that's, and I've had people say that.
The same way that Paul was persecuting the truth instead of doing the truth. And he had to come to his senses to recognize the truth and totally repent of the error that he was doing in the name of serving God before.
Yeah, which that verse, many will say to me, Lord, Lord.
Ah. Yeah, not everyone who says to me.
You got that in your notes?
Matthew 7. Yeah, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
But the one who does the will of my Father in heaven.
Yeah.
On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, Jesus says, he'll say to them, I never knew you.
Yep.
Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have the law of Christ. You were calling me Lord, but you weren't doing God's will. You weren't according to the law of Christ. And so, depart from me is going to be the judgment.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you go back to, you know, how do you know that? How do you know the will of the Father? How do you know what to do with that? And Jesus explains all that, you know, in John 8.
Mm-hmm.
He makes it really, it's really easy in John 8, 31 and 32. He says, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Right.
That's, John 8, 51, he says, truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And you keep going, John 14, 15. Folks, this is not, it's not hard. John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is who loves me. John 15, 14. You are my friends if you keep my commandments. It goes on and on and on.
Right.
Jesus tells us exactly how to know the will of God.
That's exactly
and
right.
And we have to abide in it and simply do what it says.
And we have to, as 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 mm-hmm. says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, which goes back to what we were talking about toward the beginning, last time we were talking. We need to rightly handle the word of truth. Yeah. We got to do our best to do that.
And, you know, it's interesting that Jesus doesn't call us slaves or whatever, or robots.
Right.
Or he says, you are my friend.
That's right.
If you do these things.
That's right. That's right.
And that should comfort us and motivate us and assure us and compel us to do, you know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 that the love of Christ compelled him to do what he did.
Right.
It should compel us to do what we do.
Right. Exactly.
And so.
Exactly. And again, the truth has to be balanced with the pure heart, the sincerity of spirit, and all that kind of stuff. But a test of sincerity of spirit is whether or not you're humble to the truth.
Yes, and that's exactly what we're dealing with here.
Right, right,
that's
right.
Folks, I don't care what the issue is between you, any whatever denominations you want to pull up, all of them, in fact, it goes down to Bible authority and how we see God's Word.
Right.
Every single one.
That's right.
There's not one. If we can sit down and talk about the Bible, we can. If we're honest and sincere about what we're doing. Now, we could sit down with preachers from 20 different denominations, and we can all be wrong about something, but we can all be right.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, but we've got to do this in love and concern for each other and an intent to help each other get to heaven instead of wanting to be right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care about being right.
Hmm.
You know, as far as, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at somebody and say, I'm right and you're wrong and you're going to hell because you're wrong. That is not.
Yeah.
No.
It's not about winning an argument.
We've got to be helping each other and loving each other. I mean, right. I want to be right.
Right.
But I don't want to put that on people and say, I'm right and you're wrong and that's, you know.
But there are some folks that are just into it for the game of trying to win the argument.
And that's not my intent.
Right. We've got to be about trying to win souls.
Yes.
Because the Lord is calling us through His Word to come to a knowledge of the truth and apply it to our lives. That's,
you know,
right.
And Dan said that we talked about Calvinism last week. He said, I'm not anti-Calvin.
Right.
I'm anti-not truth.
That's right.
And that's where, we, you know, it's not, so when I said it's not, I don't care about being right. I quote, right. John's face got real funny when I said that. That is not, my point is not to be right. My point is to be right with God.
Exactly.
It's not about me.
Right. Right.
I don't matter.
It's not just a debate point back and forth.
It is. And that's not what this, I never want this show to be kind of thing.
That's right. I want to go back and look at Romans 10 verses 1 through 3 just to really drive this point home about conscience, about zeal, about all these things.
Romans 10.
What's interesting is, Paul is being persecuted by the Jewish brethren that he used to lead, in essence. I mean, he used to be the leader of the persecution of Christians. Now he, as a Christian, is still being persecuted by those who are like Paul was, right? Saul was.
Yeah.
And he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, for those Jews who haven't learn the truth yet, is that they may be saved. He said, what I really want is those persecutors of me to be saved. And he says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. Think about that. Do you have a zeal for God? They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Yeah.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So we got to make sure that we have zeal for God, but we also have to make sure that we have zeal for God in alignment with knowledge of the righteousness of God so that we're actually pleasing to Him.
Simple.
As of now, they were, you know, zealous, but zealous in fighting against what was truly right and what was truly
true. So how do you find this as being ignorant of the righteousness? What is righteousness?
Righteousness is doing what's right. okay, that's fine.
I heard somebody that described righteousness as right-wayness.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of idea.
Yeah.
That there is a right way.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's God's way.
Uh-huh.
And again, it was back to Ephesians 4, and there being one truth.
Right.
And having the Bible.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we have to, well, is the Bible inspired? Can we trust it? we have to have those, and maybe we need to do, I think we should do a show sometime on how we got the Bible,
yeah,
and how it was put, you know, why we can trust it.
Right.
And so we'll probably end up doing that one too. There, I need to write that down so I don't forget, but, you know,
but,
right, how we got the Bible.
But you know. But going back to what you referenced there, let this sink in and really think about it, because so many people want to feel like everybody is doing their own thing, but they're all trying to serve God in their own different ways, mm-hmm, in their own different denominations. Here's the truth of the unity that we're supposed to have, yeah, rather than that kind of division. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. Mm-hmm. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, that's Paul talking, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, mm-hmm, and gentleness, with patience. Remember all of those ways, yes, that we're supposed to handle this truth. Bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Mm-hmm. And so what is defining this unity that we're supposed to maintain? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Mm-hmm. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Yeah. And so that is the unity that we all need to be called back to, and we need to be humble and gentle and patient and bear with one another, helping each other come back to that unity, rather than many different bodies of many different groups teaching many different things about many different baptism forms or many different faith forms,
yeah,
and all that kind of thing. Just as there is one Lord Jesus Christ, there is one faith, there is one baptism. Just as there is one God the Father, there is oneness in these basic principles, and we, yeah, should unify, yeah, on that.
And I think that's what God demands,
right,
from that verse.
Right.
That we be willing to try to do that,
that's
with,
right,
all sincerity.
Right.
And love and patience and all, and talk about these things. And that's what I told that guy at the volleyball practice. I said, if we can't talk civilly about these things and just discuss the Bible without getting all up on arms about it, I said, we've lost anyway.
Right.
Let's just talk. And we did for an hour. We talked about
that's
the Bible.
Good. That's
and
good.
And about Bible authority and how to handle the Bible and, you know, all those,
right,
things. And, well, you know, and so it was a good discussion. Now,
good.
He doesn't agree with me. He may.
Right.
Because he left
studying.
You know,
right.
I'm going to give him a book called Mind Your King.
Right.
My boy Moyer, he'll take it and read it. He's very sincere.
That's
and
good.
We said, I never thought about it, things like that. I mean, it was a good discussion.
Right.
And so, but we, you know, we didn't leave agreeing.
Right.
But we left with the intent to talk some more.
But I tell you what, you probably still left agreeing that the Bible is the authority, and
yeah,
you're
did,
needing
yeah.
to get back to the Bible, yeah, and study the Bible and look at things and see if there's a better way of
understanding. And he's the one that brought that up.
Yeah.
The idea that, getting, you know, just sticking to the Bible. And I said, well, that's easy then. We can talk about anything if that's the case.
That's right.
And so, and we were able to do that, and that's
right.
That's great. And so, but again, we didn't leave agreeing with one another, but it was a good discussion, and we're going to continue.
That's right.
And that's
right.
We're not, folks, I'm not asking anybody to change their mind right now.
And
I mean, it'd be great if you would.
Yeah.
But
if you're ready because you've seen it in Scripture already, then make those adjustments.
Come see me at El Bethel tomorrow morning at 9:30. That'd be fine.
That's right. El Bethel at 9:30 for
Bible
study on what?
Genesis 1.
Genesis 1, very
which
good.
Which is, folks, I'm going to make this statement, and we need to get back to this too. If we don't get the first 11 chapters of Genesis right,
yeah,
and stand on what the truth says, the rest of the Bible is garbage.
Yep, yep.
And that's where the world has taken our kids from us, at about 5th or 6th grade.
Yep.
These kids are seeing us waffle on, is a day, and did the flood really happen, and these things. And if, you know, some guy from Baptist Seminary said that the people didn't cross the Red Sea on dry land, it was low tide, that they were saying, okay, now come on, man. Those things, folks, are those first 11 chapters of Genesis are key to our faith.
Oh, yeah.
And who God is. So that's what we're going to talk about. But anyway, that goes back to truth and being, yeah, sincere with the truth and accepting what the Bible says, and is God God or not?
Right. Right. I mean, think about creation. Oh, this is there, a whole different subject.
That's right. It's a different show. But
you got to come tomorrow at 9:30 to El Bethel
to get
Church.
Started.
You get started with that conversation. Yes. And then 10:30, you're preaching on what?
The church being the bride of Christ.
That's right.
And
that's
being loyal to him.
So those are two great lessons for tomorrow morning. Yeah. Come by and hear Scott at the El Bethel Church.
But we just want people being sincere about knowing God. I think people are sincere about knowing God. But I think they've just been taught a lot of things that they assume are true.
Right.
That may or may not be.
Right, right. And the whole point of this is, you got the first part of this lesson, the previous time, you got to have truth. Truth has to be there, but truth has to have sincerity and love.
Yes.
And so then on the other side, you've got to have sincerity and love. And if you've got sincerity and love, great, you feel good about yourself, but guess what? That sincerity and love has to have the truth, or you're misguided until you have sought the truth of God's word.
And we can't say things like, well, how could God possibly not be happy with what I'm doing? I mean, I'm helping people.
Yeah.
I'm doing things. Okay. What does the Bible say?
Right.
You know, that's the idea here.
Right. Are you willing to let the Bible speak?
I had to say it at least
once.
That's
right. Are you willing to go back to letting the Bible speak and letting that guide you or not? Yeah. Because it's the contrast in 2 Timothy 2. We already referenced this. But it's the contrast between 2 Timothy 2 and 2 Timothy 4 about how is our heart really going to be? Are we going to truly be sincere? Are we going to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, rightly handling the word of truth? Or are we really not as sincere as we want to think we are? Because 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 and 4, Paul tells Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." And so you may be sincerely wanting to feel like you are sincerely doing what God is doing. But if it's really a fulfillment of your own desires, you can find a teacher who will teach you anything and make you feel good in any error you want to hold.
In fact, you can find more that will than won't.
That's right. That's right. And those teachers will pop up, and if you follow after those teachers, the blind will lead the blind, and they both fall into the pit. But we need to go back to rightly handling the word.
And I'm going
to
go out on a limb here.
All right.
And say this.
Yes.
With all sincerity.
Yeah.
If you come to El Bethel,
yep,
you will not hear anything that's not Bible, period.
Yep. That's right.
I don't talk about my opinions.
Right.
I don't talk about my feelings. And we need to talk about where, let's real quick talk about where does emotion come into this salvation thing? I mean, when does emotion really play a role in what we're doing?
We end up being able to rejoice
when
we have submitted to the Lord in the way that he has said.
There is no example of somebody in the New Testament that I'm aware of that felt saved and was.
Yeah.
I'm saved today. I'm good.
Right.
That we don't see that.
Right.
Now, we see a lot of rejoicing. I think the emotion comes, like you said, when we realize the gift we've got.
Right.
Emotion can't help but pour out of us.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
But it's our salvation is not based on emotion or think-sos or feelings. Right. It is based on truth and knowledge.
Right. And when Philippian jailer ends up being saved, he ends up, they submit to baptism, he and all his family.
Yes.
Chapter 16, verse 34. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God.
Yep.
And so once he had believed and submitted to baptism according to the command of God, then he was rejoicing with his whole household. Yep. And you see that same pattern with Acts 8, if I recall correctly. I'm going to... the Ethiopian eunuch And when they came up out of the water from being baptized, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way.
Rejoicing. Yep.
Yeah.
And so that's where emotion comes in.
That's right.
And it needs to be there. To have the right spirit, that emotion needs to be there.
Absolutely.
But the emotion has to be channeled through the right channel.
Right. Exactly.
So to speak.
Exactly.
So it's a cool discussion. Maybe we need to talk about that more. I know that's kind of a little bit of information there about that.
Yeah, but that's good.
The truth is the truth, and if it's not, why are we here?
Right.
I mean, that's the point. And it's 10:30 already.
It is.
And I hate that.
Wow.
It's really a moot point. But no, really. I want Theron Hall and Matt. What's Matt's last name? Theron.
Durbin.
Matt Durbin. Durbin has been coming in here as our tech people and doing a lot of things for us and making CDs. By the way, product placement. Here are some CDs.
Yeah.
That Theron makes for the show and we can give those out. We've got a lot of people helping with this in ways that I could never have imagined.
Yeah.
When I mentioned weeks ago, I'm thinking about maybe doing a radio program, and boom, all the, I mean, it's been great.
People keep showing up.
And people have been willing to come and help. And I told people at Bible Study Wednesday night, I have the people I have on here for a reason, because they know more about the Bible than I do.
Hmm.
And
I appreciate it.
And when you've got somebody on here that's been preaching for 50 years, as long as I've been alive, they know more about the Bible than I do. That's just the way it is. I'm not. That's not a shameful thing. I just need to study more.
That's not me. I'm only 49.
I know you are. But you still got the senior citizens discount.
That'll be a fun story. That'll be a fun story on Facebook Live after we're done on the radio.
So
here. There you go.
Let's
wrap this up.
Yeah, let's, folks, just be honest with the Bible. That's all we're asking you to do.
Right.
And read it. And if it doesn't fit what you think, read it some more.
Yeah.
And go back and see why you think what you think.
Yeah.
Is it a Bible-based? Is it a teaching? Is it a manual? Is it a handbook? Or is it some kind of creed? Or is it Bible?
Is it Bible?
And if it's not Bible, you need to be honest about it.
Right.
And so I'm going to ask that, is there anything you want to say to close before we, do the Let the Bible Speak thing at the end?
No, I just really appreciate the opportunity to be able to share these ideas. I hope it's a blessing. If you have any questions, please reach out to us. If you can call me, I'm at 502-645-3098. Mm-hmm. You can call or text me with questions. You can call or text Scott with questions at
812-620-4034.
Please ask questions and start the study.
Yes.
So that we can open the Bible together.
I'm gonna encourage you to ask this question that someone Pilate asked.
Mm-hmm.
What is truth?
Yeah.
And go out there and find it.
That's right.
And are you ready for it? Let the Bible speak. Thank you, folks, for listening and watching while you could. My phone died for a while. It's back. But anyway, I appreciate everybody very much. Love y'all.
You've been listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak, airing on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from beautiful, where are we at, gentlemen?
Marengo, Indiana.
Beautiful Marengo, Indiana. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, folks.
Right. So, how old are you?
I'm 50.
You are 50. Okay,
how
I want
are you,
John? I am 49. 49. I can't do my fingers for it, but
makes
I want
it,
you to look at his head of hair and my head of hair.
Makes about $1.50 difference in price in a chicken.
It does. Well, listen. So we go into, this was your idea, right?
It was Sandra Arnold's
idea. Oh, okay. It was Sandra's idea. Okay. So we
this
go
is for
in.
Facebook Live.
KFC. Right?
We go into KFC and Scott goes right before me in line, and
$8.03.
He says, "I want the buffet and a drink."
Buffet.
And he said, charged $8.03, so he pays for it and he moves on. And I end up just trying to be as easy and simple as possible, and I say, "I'll have what he has." I didn't even just order the same thing. I just said, "I'll have what he has." The guy rings it up and says $6.96.
That was $6.57.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even better. Hey, So $6 and whatever. So I think I've lost my drink. And I was like, no, I not only do I want the buffet, I want a drink with it too or whatnot. And he said, oh, no, I just applied the senior citizen discount.
That's great. Hey, why not use it?
Yep. I did not argue at that point. I was like, hey, if you're giving me a discount, I guess I'll take it. But
that did happen to me once.
Already? All right.
It was last year sometime. My wife got the bill. I think it was Wendy. We may have been eating with you all, Theron.
Yeah.
Was it the Arby's? And my wife says, this bill, I get it's been a while. My wife says, this bill isn't right. There's something wrong. She got to look at it and they applied to citizens, senior citizens discount for me.
Well, Grandpa took
daughter. You call me Grandpa?
Grandpa took daughter and grandchildren to, that must have been what was happening.
Must have been. Anyway, thank you guys. Theron, do you have anything you want to say to the Facebook people? You haven't said a whole
howdy.
You did some gongs today. But haven't
I got
said
to do some gongs. That made my day. We've got Tina, and I don't know who else is on.
Well, a lot of them probably vanished when the phone died.
Right.
So, love you, baby.
Oh, sure.
My phone died again.
It died. Love you. Ooh.
Just now. I
haven't done it.
It's like magic.
So I think here's the problem. I think we were charging it.
Yeah,
well, that was ultimately
faster than what...
There you go.
So I need to make sure it's charged when I get
here. And he keeps saying he's not smart.